Hey there, this is Kyle Tully, and you're listening to the Consulting Tycoon Podcast. Last week, one of my Daily Secrets subscribers asked, "Hey Kyle, I'm just about to launch my new consulting business and wanted to ask, what are the most common mistakes people make so that I can try to avoid them? I have some good ideas from reading your daily emails, but want to make sure I'm not missing anything." I thought that'd be a great topic for a podcast, so let's get stuck in. So, I do see the same mistakes being made over and over and over again. In fact, one of my longtime Tycoon Inner Circle members mentioned to me just the other day that she's seen the same trends with new members who come into that program, all struggling with the same issues, which are often caused by one or more of the mistakes we're going to be talking about today. So our topic is 7 costly mistakes to avoid when building your consulting business. And, you know, some of these might seem like common sense, but what I've found is that it's often the things that seem like the most common sense where we make the biggest mistakes. You know, you can look back at something you've failed at in the past and easily identify a simple mistake that you made, but at the time you were completely oblivious to it. So I believe you can never overtrain on the basics. Now, one or two of these are a little controversial, and I know there's going to be some people who will disagree with me, and that's fine. I'm just sharing with you what has worked and what consistently hasn't worked for myself, my clients, and my students. So my question to you is, how many of these mistakes can you relate to? How many are affecting your results right now? And what are you going to do about it? So let's jump to the first mistake, and that is trying to be everything to everyone. Now, what I typically see here is people offering just way too many services. You know, they're building websites, they're doing SEO, they're doing AdWords, they're doing Facebook ads, they're managing Facebook accounts, they're doing conversion rate optimization, social media, they're trying to be experts at email marketing and autoresponders and, you know, probably half a dozen other things. And, you know, when you step back a bit, it's kind of obvious that you can't realistically be an expert at all of these things. You know, you can know some stuff about them. You can know enough just to kind of get by, but you can't be an expert at all of them. You know, that each one of those areas is changing and advancing so quickly that it's a full-time job just to keep on top of it. You know, AdWords alone had hundreds of changes in the last year. You know, every time I log into my Facebook account, the interface looks different. There's a new feature. There's something else going on. And so the idea that you can try and, you know, be an expert at all of these things is pretty laughable, but so many people are trying. And it's kind of obvious that a specialist in any one of those things, you know, someone who devotes every day of their life to getting good at that and getting better at that and employing people and training them in their systems and tools, a business like that is always going to get better results than you could as a generalist. And clients know that. Other people know that. So trying to position yourself as an expert at all these things, as someone who's going to come along and save the day and be able to do everything for a client, it's not a believable proposition. And we're even seeing the trend in the market where clients are employing, you know, anywhere up to 10 or more different specialists for all the different areas of their online marketing. It's only really the smallest of the small agencies, the smallest of the small clients who basically due to budget reasons are employing a single expert or agency or consultant to do this stuff for them. Most people are going the expert route. You know, they've got an expert AdWords consultant doing their AdWords for them. They've got an expert Facebook person doing their Facebook. They've got an expert conversion rate optimization team doing their conversion rate optimization because people realize experts get better results. And at the end of the day, your best value proposition is going to be in the results that you can get. And so not only, you know, can't you realistically be an expert at all of these, you can't become known as an expert at all of these things. Think to any business you know, any guru you know, any kind of top-level person that you know, and none of them are known as experts at everything. They're either known as kind of a generalist who knows a little bit about everything or an expert in a particular field. The other problem with trying to be everything to everyone is that, and this is probably the most common mistake I see and the most common problem we have to try and fix to people who come into my programs, is that these type of businesses where you're doing 100 different things are intimately tied to your skills. You know, if you've got either working alone or got a team of, you know, 3 to 5 people, you can't realistically have expert knowledge in all these things. And so it's almost always tied back to your skills. You're intimately tied into the business, and it's very, very difficult to scale and grow. So last episode, we spoke to Patrick, and he went from being a generalist where he had a development business, charging by the hour, doing a lot of very general type of work, you know, building websites, doing social media, all that type of stuff. And he migrated to a more specialist marketing agency where he now charges $30,000 to $50,000 per project. And he was largely able to do that by specializing around a couple of core skills, by specializing into a particular niche market, and then really figuring out where the value that he provides is and who specifically in that market he can provide that value to. So my advice is focus on somewhere like 1 to 3 closely related specialties that are all built around a single value proposition, and you will find getting traction is so much easier. You'll find people actually refer business to you because they know how to refer business to you. They know how to refer to you. You know, they know what you want to be known for, what you're really good at, and who they should be sending your way. And you'll find that the people who you attract into your business start going from these low-level people who kind of need help with everything because what they're doing sucks so bad, to clients who have specific problems that you can solve that are extremely high value and that you can charge a lot of money for. So that's the first mistake, trying to be everything to everyone, spreading yourself too thin. The second mistake, and this one might be a little bit controversial, is focusing too much on websites. This is particularly a problem if you're, you know, positioned as a web design business or a web development business. You know, if you're well established in any of those and you're getting lots of clients and making lots of money, this doesn't apply to you. But if you're just getting started and trying to get traction with a web design or web development business, it's a pretty uphill battle these days. You know, there are just literally hundreds of thousands of design and development companies out there doing fantastic work. There's also thousands, if not tens of thousands of different, you know, WordPress themes and very low level solutions to these problems, not to mention, you know, Fiverr and Elance and Odesk and all these, you know, other low level done for you type of solutions. So it can be hard to kind of break through that noise, get any kind of attention and differentiate yourself. Not only that, but websites tend to be or tend to have fairly long project cycles. You know, it tends to be at least a couple of weeks, and quite often they'll turn into a couple of months before you actually finish a project. And a lot of the time the client wants involvement. You know, they want input on the colors and the fonts and the size of their logo and anything else you can possibly imagine in the web design process, the client wants to have their say. Not only this, but they're quite often one-off projects. So you get paid one time, it's all fantastic, but then you've got to go out and find another client. And the clients who want websites don't necessarily want other things like pay-per-click or SEO that are more long-term sort of recurring type things. They're not always the perfect clients for those type of services. So while the idea of getting people in the door to sell them a website and then upsell, you know, traffic and those kind of things kind of makes sense on paper, in reality, it doesn't always work that way unless you get very clear on exactly who you need to be targeting for the websites in the first place. So I want to be clear here. It's fine to deliver websites to clients, but in most cases, your focus shouldn't be on the website, right? Your focus needs to be on a higher level, bigger value proposition where you can solve a big problem, not necessarily just be building websites. So that's the second mistake, focusing too much on websites. Third mistake, chasing money. This is another one that sometimes can be a little bit controversial because people think, you know, it's all about going to a market where there's money, where they're spending money, etc. And that certainly helps. The problem I see is where people are going into a market where they have no experience, they have no knowledge and aren't necessarily all that passionate about finding knowledge. They have no passion for the market at all. They've got no affinity with it. You know, they've just got no connection with this market whatsoever, other than the idea that there's money in this market and I'm going to go and get it. And what they always find is it's really difficult connecting with anyone in that market. You know, if you come from a sort of a blue collar type of background, you've always had a job in some kind of blue collar industry, and you hear there's money in the dental market, and so you start targeting dentists, you've got a bit of an uphill battle to get those people. You know, just getting connected with them in the first place is quite difficult. Getting a conversation with them can be quite difficult. Speaking to them on their level and having them see you as on their level, as, you know, what right or wrong you kind of see those class differences are, they exist. And believe me, the dental guy knows about them. It's difficult to connect with people. I've seen it happen, and I mentioned the dental market specifically because I've seen probably half a dozen people attempt to go into that market where there was literally no connection, no affinity, no nothing, and it was a massive uphill battle. You'll also find that you start to get bored of the work a lot quicker. Everyone thinks that they're going to be the difference, that they're going to be the one that can go into a market and follow the money, and the money will inspire them, and everything will be great as soon as we get the money coming in. And virtually every single time, and this is, you know, looking at hundreds of people who have come through my different programs, they get bored of the work or they lose the passion for chasing the money before they get much traction. And the few that do get traction quickly realize that the money doesn't make up for a business that you're not interested in, that you're not passionate about. Now, if you're not passionate about helping these people, if you don't truly care about their interests, about helping them in whatever way you can, it's not just about the money, you will get bored of it and it won't be fun. It often leads to, you know, poor short-term decision-making where you do chase the money over providing more value. So my best advice here is focus on your own passions, find a market that you do have affinity with, that pass what I call the beer test. In other words, at the end of the day, when you're knocking off, you're tired from work, would you want to have a beer with one of these guys? Would they want to have a beer with you? And if the answer to that is no, it's probably a good sign that you're not really going to have a lot of fun working with these guys. So go into a market where you've got affinity and passion and where there's problems that you can solve. You know, that's where the money comes from, is from solving problems, solving people's pains. It doesn't come from chasing the money. And sometimes it can be a fine line. So that's our third big mistake, chasing money. Fourth one is content marketing, but more specifically, unfocused content marketing. And really what I see this stemming from is producing content without your ideal client in mind. And what happens is you start putting out all this content that's completely off target. You know, it just doesn't appeal to your ideal prospects. Most of the time I see people producing content that appeals to a client much, much lower down the food chain than the type of clients they want to get. So for example, with SEO, instead of talking, you know, about high-level business problems that are caused by not ranking on Google, or that are caused by the cost of having to try and rank on Google and keep those rankings up high, you know, something that a high-level either business owner, entrepreneur, or marketing manager at a big company is going to care about and want to pay a lot of money to solve. Instead of talking about those kind of problems, people are talking about, you know, how to create a backlink, or how to, you know, use some software tool online to see how many backlinks you've got. You know, stuff that a maybe work from home mum would care about, or a small business owner who's trying to do everything himself would care about. And so if you start producing content without a clear idea of who your ideal client is and what they actually care about, I guarantee that content is going to be completely useless and a waste of time. The other issue I see with a lot of content marketing is using the wrong channel. And most people, the way they get started with content marketing is a blog or a podcast. And they can be fantastic tools. However, you've got to consider what type of mediums your ideal clients are actually consuming. Now, if you're targeting the legal market, are those guys going out and reading random blogs? If they're not, then just starting to blast out articles on a blog probably isn't going to be the fastest way to get started. It may be part of a bigger, longer-term attraction marketing strategy. But short-term, you know, the first, say, 30 to 90 days of your business, maybe even the first 6 months, it's probably not going to be something that's going to get you those first couple of clients. You'd be much better off focusing that attention maybe on writing a white paper, you know, producing almost the exact same content but formatted as a white paper and send it to them via direct mail. Or use some other kind of strategy that goes direct to them rather than hoping for them to come to you. So, you know, I do believe in content marketing. I think it can be a fantastic strategy in sort of the medium to long term. and sometimes even in the short term, just in from a point of view of kind of social proof and demonstrating expertise and showing that you're an expert and all that kind of stuff. But you've got to make sure 100% that it's on target, because poor content marketing does just as much harm as good. You know, I do a lot of critiques of people's websites in the consulting industry, and one of the most common issues that I have to kind of address is that people's content is positioning them much lower on the totem pole than they really want to be positioned as. And in those cases, it's often best to not have any content on there. Now, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of websites out there that are producing tons and tons of high quality clients without a blog and without that type of content on there. So before you start producing content, have a think. Are your ideal clients going to be consuming this type of content? If you're pushing it out there, how are you going to get it in front of them? A lot of the time, you can't just assume that they're searching for these, for answers to these type of problems. A lot of the time, you need to be able to get it in front of them. So you need a strategy of putting your content in front of them. And then ask yourself, are you talking to their pain points, or are you talking about things that you care about or things that you think they should care about? Because it will make a massive difference in your content marketing strategy. So that's number four, is unfocused content marketing. Number five, trying to launch multiple businesses at the same time. This is where you've got someone who's starting a consulting business and they're also trying to get their affiliate marketing off the ground, and they're dabbling with e-commerce, and they've just started a membership site, and they're investigating starting a SaaS business as well. Now, you know, when you say it all like that, it kind of sounds obvious that that's probably not the best way to go about things. But again, I've lost count of the number of people who are trying to start at least two, if not more, businesses, who come to me and they're struggling with all of them, and they wonder why. You know, if you think about, let's say it takes, you know, 4 units of effort to get any one business profitable, then if you've only got one project or one business on your plate, you put in 4 units of effort and that project becomes profitable. If you're splitting your time between 2 projects, it's going to take 7 units of effort before one of them becomes profitable. So almost twice as long. If you're working on 3 projects, it's going to take around 10 units of effort because you're splitting your time amongst all 3 of them. And then what happens almost every single time, because I see it time and time again, is that the more projects you've got on your plate, the more unfocused you are with your direction, the more likely you are to get sucked into other ideas or other opportunities, or have another bright, shiny object capture your attention, or you simply just get caught up in all the busy work of all of those different things that you never really get focused on the productive work of actually getting one of those opportunities out the door in front of people and having the opportunity to actually get paid for it. So sit down and ask yourself seriously, can you manage all of this? And if you think the answer is yes, ask yourself, are you doing it successfully right now? Because if you think you can manage it all, but you've been trying to manage it all for the last 6 months or the last 6 years and it's not working, perhaps it's time to change. My best advice, and this advice is parroted by a lot of people I know, is build one business, get it to 6 figures at least, and then decide if you want to add on those other businesses. Most of the time, you'll find it's more profitable to keep growing the first business. But certainly once you've got 1 to 6 figures, you can start looking at other businesses. One of my friends, James, he had an affiliate marketing business that he built up to 6 figures. Then he quit his job, and at the same time of quitting his job, he took on some existing people he knew as consulting clients and instantly launched what basically was a 6-figure consulting business. So it's fine to have more than one business, but don't be dabbling in a whole bunch of different things. It's the worst thing you can possibly do. I think a lot of people do it almost as a bit of a safety net. You know, they don't really have a lot of confidence in any one of their ideas. So they kind of dabble in a bunch of different things, hoping or praying or waiting for one of them to take off. And it becomes almost a procrastination point where, as long as you don't actually launch any one of those ideas, you can't fail. know, if it's not launched, you can't fail. You can't get rejected. You can't figure out that the last 6 months you spent on that project was wasted. And that kind of leads into our next mistake, which is over planning. This is where you're, you know, you've got your 5-year vision, but you're trying to build the 5-year vision before you actually launch the business. And this has so many bad implications. You know, it leads to perfectionism because the idea is so big and so grand in your mind that it has to be perfect before you launch it. And then you become overwhelmed because there's so much to do and it's so far away from where you'd really like it to be that you start procrastinating. And you'll find, you know, 6 months down the track, you still haven't launched it. Eventually you get to a point where it's, okay, we can do this thing. Let's turn it on. You launch the project and no one buys. No one signs up. You get no traction whatsoever. And you realize that you just wasted the last 6 months of your life trying to build this thing that no one wanted. So my advice is to get a client as fast as humanly possible. Do it in a week. Start solving problems. Start figuring out what people will pay for. Validate the idea by getting a paying client first. Then start building the 30-day vision, then the 90-day vision, then the year vision, and then the 5-year vision. Don't start with the 5-year vision. You know, it's great to have an idea of where you want to go. It's great to have an idea of what's possible. But if you start by trying to build that, you're probably going to struggle. And again, you know, this is advice coming from or going to someone who hasn't yet successfully done this. If you've built 10 businesses before and you're a multimillionaire, you can probably go out and start with a 5-year vision. But if you haven't done it before and you don't know what kind of challenges you're going to face along the way, keep it as simple as possible. Now, what if you set a goal to launch your business in 7 days? Really compress that timeline down to 7 days. It'll help you cut away all the crap and focus only on what matters. You know, finding a problem in a market, figuring out a simple solution that you can provide to solve that problem, putting up a very basic landing page, and then implementing one, maybe two different traffic strategies to get people to that page. Once you've launched the business, then your 30-day goal is to go out and get a client or get two clients. If that's successful, then you set a 90-day goal and build on from there and let it build organically. But don't get stuck in this rut of over-planning and then replanning and then planning again and never actually getting anywhere. You'll get so much further ahead by launching a very, very simple site with one page, getting your ideal clients in front of that page and saying, what do you think? Do you want to sign up? If not, why not? Figure it out. Our seventh and final mistake I see people making, and this is probably the most insidious one, the one that can really sabotage you for a long time, and that's dreaming. Dreaming is the dream killer. I had a friend who was talking about setting up an e-commerce store for about 6 months. He's asking questions about, you know, how to automate the shipping, what apps they should be using for upsells, what kind of software they should be using, how they were going to hire employees, you know, all these problems that they weren't actually facing yet. They were hypothetical things that may or may not matter in the future, but they hadn't actually done a single thing to launch that store and make a sale. Everything was happening in the future. They were all what-if scenarios and dreaming. So one day I sat down with him. I said, what the hell are you doing? We went out, we found one of the products at retail. We bought it. We set up a simple one-page landing page with a photo of the product, a one-paragraph product description, and a buy now button. Created a Facebook ad to drive traffic. And the first day we sold a product. Now he's in business. Now he's got the next problem to solve. But he just wasted 6 months on dreaming and planning and you know, living in the future of this one day when this thing is going to happen and trying to solve problems that don't yet exist. The only problem you can solve is the one in front of you. So future planning, you know, if you catch yourself always making plans or making lists or taking notes, take a step back and ask yourself, you know, is this really relevant to me right now? Have I made plans like this before and not executed on them? Am I making another list similar to the list I made last week that I didn't actually execute on, which was similar to the one I did last month that I never got round to, which is similar to the list I made at the start of last year that I still haven't got to? If you're taking notes, ask yourself, am I actually going to execute on these things in the next week? If not, why are you taking notes on it? There's surely something more important you could be working on right now. You've got to stop living in the future. You know, when I do this, then I'll be able to do something else. Once I've gotten this, then I'll be able to do the next thing. If we can only do this, then this will happen. These are all future-paced language where you're looking into the future and not taking action until some other scenario has happened. There's no present accountability for what you're doing. Now, how many leads did you get this week? How many leads did you get last week? Is that number improving or not? If the number's been zero, and it was zero for a couple of weeks before that and a couple of months before that, then it's a really good sign that you're not living in the present, that you're not taking action today and every day that's going to move you forward, and that you're dreaming about the future. How many new clients have you gotten this month? Is that improving or getting worse from last month? How much profit have you made in your business? You've got to get focused on immediate action and living in the now. Just today, I heard a story about there was some guy at a seminar, and he was talking about some of his struggles trying to start his business. And he was up on stage asking the audience for feedback. And he mentioned that there was a website in the United States doing exactly what he wanted to do in Brazil. And so while he was on stage, another guy in the audience who happened to be a multimillionaire looked up the phone number for the owner of the original website, gave him a call, and began negotiations for a licensing deal for the other guy to use the software in Brazil. And before the presentation was over, there was a licensing deal that could be potentially closed within a week, having the website up and running. So one guy who's been struggling with an idea for 3 months, living in the future about all these problems he may or may not have, dreaming of the day he launches his business, and it got him nowhere. Immediate action of making a phone call, asking some questions, and solving the first problem in front of him got everywhere. So important that you get focused on immediate action. Things that are going to have an impact on your business today, this week. And once you've got the business up and running, you can start thinking more strategically. You can start thinking longer term. You can start having, you know, the 1 and 3 and 5 year action plans that you're working towards. But if you're just getting started, you've got to solve the first problem. And that is, in the consulting business, you know, how do I get a client? Where can I get someone to pay me for something? In our inner circle, we build in a feedback loop where every week we're setting goals. This is what I'm going to do this week. These are the action steps I'm going to work on and get done. And then next week, we report back on the progress. Here's what I did. Did I do it or did I not? And if I didn't, there better be a damn good reason for it. There's no hiding. It's all based on immediate action. And in the bigger picture, that's tied to strategic longer-term goals. But on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis, it's all about immediate action. Me personally, I do a daily journal where each morning I write down what I'm going to do today. And then each evening, I ask myself, did I do this? And if not, why not? What's stopping? What's holding me back? What got my attention and drew me away from my bigger picture goals? And if I did do it, why? You know, what went great for me this day? Why did I get so much productive work done? You've got to wake up. You're like Neo in the Matrix. You can either take the blue pill of blissful ignorance, living in a land of fantasy where you've got this illusion of progress, always dreaming about the next business idea, the next client, the next big payday, but never really doing anything in the now to make it happen. Or you can take the red pill and face reality, accept the potentially painful truth that things aren't going as well as you'd hoped, that you're not taking immediate action every day towards your dreams. And then you can start taking that immediate action. And the choice is yours, and it is a choice. It's your decision to live in the now versus living in the future. So ask yourself, what can I do now to make this happen? What immediate action can I take to get a client this week? This is the killer, this one, living in the future, dreaming. It holds so many people back. And yet it's so easy to overcome when you make the decision to overcome it. Building accountability. Whether it's a mastermind group or coaching or a mentor or something simple like a daily journal. But hold yourself accountable for taking daily, immediate action towards your goals. Stop taking notes about all the things you're going to do and just do them today. It's better to do one thing that gets you one step closer to your goal today than it is to write down 10 awesome things that you could potentially do in the future. Now, we've all got notebooks that we've filled over the years, completed at seminars or from courses we've done, pages and pages and pages of notes. How much of that have you actually executed? I was shocked when I looked back a couple of years ago over some of my notepads. I had literally thousands of pages of notes, and I'd executed on, you know, maybe 1% or 2% of those things. There were entire courses I'd gone through and taken, you know, 10 or 20 pages of notes and hadn't quite gotten around to doing any of it. I quickly realized that I would get much better results if I stopped taking notes and started taking action. For example, I was at a seminar a couple of years ago now, and I was listening to a guy speak about pay-per-click marketing, and I think he was talking about remarketing. This is when it was kind of fairly new in town. And I saw that session. I was like, wow, this is awesome. I have to be doing this in my business right now. And I missed the next session of the seminar to go back up to my hotel room and start implementing the remarketing stuff on my website. Now, it didn't matter that I missed the next session. You know, we were going to get recordings of the event anyway. It wasn't a big deal. I could always go back and see that. But I knew that taking action on that one idea that could be a game changer for my business, that could have a huge impact, was more important than hanging around for whatever the next session was. And I spoke to people at the event, and I could count on one hand, more likely two fingers, how many people had actually implemented anything from that weekend so far. Everyone else was taking notes, being diligent with, you know, capturing all these ideas, but very, very few had actually done anything just yet. And I was at the same seminar a year later, and most of the people were in pretty much the exact same position they were in the year before. And the few who had made big leaps and bounds, entering into new markets, starting new businesses, breaking through to that next level, without fail, had been the ones who were taking action the year before. That's no coincidence. So decide to wake up, start taking action now. Snap out of the dreaming state. It will change your life. So let's quickly recap the 7 costly mistakes to avoid when building your consulting business. The first one, trying to be everything to everyone, spreading yourself too thin. Second one is websites, getting stuck in those long project cycles, tons of client involvement. Number 3, chasing money. Number 4, unfocused content marketing. Number 5, trying to launch multiple businesses at the same time before getting traction on any of them. Number 6, over planning. And our last deadly mistake is dreaming, living in the future. Guys, if you like this episode, make sure you subscribe on iTunes and write a quick review to help spread the word. I'd really appreciate it. And if you'd like to get daily tips, tricks, and tactics on how to grow a 6-figure consulting business, then head over to consultingtycoon.com and get the Daily Secrets email.